Velvet Revolution. It takes place in Armenia. It uses some principles that are very familiar to us in Armadoxy. How about if we connect some dots between some unsuspecting places? We do that all the time, don't we? This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, doing what we do all the time in a very unusual way. This is episode number 518 of The Next Step, and we're inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our 10th year of broadcasting The Next Step. The Next Step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life. Based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ, we here at epostle.net stay firm to our commitment to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
40 days after the greatest event in all of human history. 40 days after the event which offers the opportunity to define time in terms of BC and AD. 40 days after the event which we affectionately call Easter. 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the 11 remaining disciples go to the mountaintop where Jesus had directed them, says Holy Scripture. And Jesus appears to them. Some of them worship him. Some of them doubt him. Yes, even at that point. And Jesus tells them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Just as the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you. Go therefore, baptizing all nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe, to obey, to follow the commandments that I have given you and all that I have taught you. And remember that I am with you until the end of the ages." Ascension, 40 days after Easter. That's today. Today is Ascension. And what I just referred to, the scriptural passage from Matthew chapter 28, sometimes called the Great Commission, where Jesus commands his disciples to go out and spread this message of love. Some call it the Great Commission. What I'm going to do tonight, and you're going to wait till the end of the show to see how all the dots connect, I'm going to call it something different. I'm going to call it, and I know I'm not the only one, Revolution.
You say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. You tell me that it's evolution. Well, you know, but when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out?
They're calling it the Velvet Revolution. Velvet. Why? Because, well, it's smooth. Yeah, it's a very smooth-running revolution. No blood. And isn't that beautiful? Thank God, no blood. Armenia has a new prime minister, a new sense of understanding itself, right? Yeah, a lot of things happened over this past weekend. And I guess I want to just do a big shout out to a wonderful lady who's been helping us out for the past year right now. Mariana, she's the one who puts our Facebook posts up. And Mariana just hit it so perfectly in a post that she put up, I think it was Tuesday night, when we got word that Nicole Pashinyan was elected the prime minister of Armenia. She put up a beautiful post, and it says, "As said in the words of Martin Luther King Jr., Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. She writes, through love comes unity, peace, and victory from injustice. When you have love, everything else follows. Congratulations, Armenia, for a successful and peaceful revolution. May the grace and protection of God guide you and your new leader in this new journey. So beautifully said. Thank you, Mariana, for putting that together. And there is a nice little clip of people clapping and applauding and cheering. And there's just a new sense of energy, a new sense of excitement. And of course, you know, I've shared with you many times, this is not a political show. We're not into politics. But there is an underlying current that you do want to do something in the world. You do need to bring about the change. And if you can use these different avenues, especially the political arena, to organize, to use them as a means to get your end across, that's what politics is all about, right? And obviously, justice is one of those big categories. When you have justice, you have peace. And when you come to peace, is there anything else that religion is all about, right? I mean, ultimately, religion, whatever it may be, I'm just not only talking about Orthodoxy, not only talking about Christianity, talking about all main religion, wants to bring about peace. That's the objective. That should be the objective of true religion, right? To bring about this sense of peace. In fact, it's the same true in science, right? What is it? Everything seeks its own equilibrium. Well, what is that equilibrium? It is that peace. And the need to find equilibrium transcends geography, boundaries. It's the true in nature when you see the levels of water coming from one source of water into another source. They seek their equilibrium. Same thing in a pipe, in the plumbing in your house. Same thing in the solar system, in the cosmos. Same thing right inside of your heart, inside of our being, of who we are. We're sensing this. We're sensing the desire to seek that equilibrium, which is peace, calm. Hey, we are out in the desert this week. We have been out in the desert, guest of the St. Garabed Armenian Church here in Rancho Mirage. We're working with the church, with the priest, a wonderful, wonderful young priest, Father Krikor Zakharyan. And when you talk about peace, I don't think that there is a more peaceful place than the desert. Now I shouldn't be the expert on this. Those of you who have listened to The Next Step know that I retreat into the desert many times because it is my little place of solace. But this time we just had such an incredible opportunity to enjoy that peace. You wake up in the morning and there is calm. At night, one of our parish council members here in the desert church took us for a ride in a convertible Bonneville, 1967. And Susan and I were in the back just like looking up at the sea of stars, literally a sea of stars from one end to the other. I don't think there are enough words, proper words, that can describe the scenery up in the heavens. And it's once again an opportunity for us to understand that beyond us there is so much. There is such a big vastness. And in that vastness, we are significant. In that vastness, there is an opportunity that everyone seeks and everything seeks to find its balance and its equilibrium. And when it does find that, that is what peace is. That should be the object of every religion, right? What are the laws and the rules and the regulations we talk about in religion, the moral codes that we talk? It's about to bring peace, right? Look at whether it's the Ten Commandments or Jesus is saying, love your Lord, your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, understand that there is a universal law for peace, and that is love. Now, once you understand that, you say, okay, how do we achieve that peace? How do we achieve that love? How do we go about demonstrating that love? Well, one of the first key steps is to understand. And understanding comes by experiencing, by having respect, by putting your foot in the shoes of your fellow human being and understanding their pain, understanding their suffering. their difficulties. And once you start understanding, you have a respect. By cultivating that respect, you understand the ways and means by which you can love. And by loving, you understand that there has to be an opportunity for justice, that justice brings about peace. So it's all interconnected. And that's what's so exciting about what we do over here. So back to what we were talking about. Yes, a big revolution has taken place in Armenia. It is a change of power. And yes, you can look at it as a purely political situation, or you could understand it as an opportunity to see something greater, something grander. In other words, the ties that it has with the system of justice and finding equilibrium. So that is probably the biggest news that's coming out anywhere. And I do have to emphasize that this is not just an Armenian issue. Actually, many people on the sidelines are looking at it because it is an opportunity to see how some of the principles that we talk about, the principles of love, the principles of nonviolence, can be actually implemented. And we saw that in Armenia over the last couple of weeks. Now, yes, you know what that's sounding like, right? You know that has been a basic and a consistent theme here on The Next Step. It is one of the cornerstones and pillars of In His Shoes Ministries and what we teach and what we talk about as far as leveraging love, the opportunity to take love and really bring about those big, giant movements. Now, that, of course, big news coming out of Armenia, also some other great big news coming out of the Armenian Church itself, namely out of the American diocese, the Eastern diocese. Now, this would include most of the Eastern states. The Western diocese, where I'm stationed at, includes 13 of the United States on the West Coast, including the United States of Mexico. And that is, there is one parish there, actually, in Mexico City. And there might be, I could be wrong, but anyway, the main parish is in Mexico City. So that's the Western Diocese. Everything else in the United States would be considered the Eastern Diocese. It's certainly the older diocese. The first immigrants after the wave of massacres came to the East Coast. And that Eastern Diocese had elections. His Eminence Archbishop Khajag Barsamian stepped down from his position as primate. The word primate means that he is the primary, okay? He is the main official bishop. There can be bishop. Bishop is an ecclesiastical right. In other words, a church title. He has been ordained as a bishop. Now, a bishop has a position within the administration, and primate means he's the primary, the main one, okay? The main overseer. So the primary bishop, the primate, Archbishop Khajag Barsamian, after serving 28 years, stepped down from his position, opening up the opportunity for elections. And last week, very Reverend Daniel Findikian, he is what we call in the Armenian Church a Vartabed. He is one of the celibate monks of the church. He was elected as the primate of the Eastern Diocese. Now, the significance of this is beyond him, is his character and his personality and who he is, his accomplishments. He's a young man who, I think they made a big deal out of his being American-born for the wrong reasons. In other words, they're saying that, okay, he's an American-born and this is the first time, great, we have an American-born. It's so much more significant than that. It means the transcendence of these geographical boundaries that we've had in the past. And so today, the first American-born clergyman becomes the primate of not only just a diocese, but probably the most, one of the largest dioceses, if not the most largest diocese financially, influentially. One of the largest dioceses, I would say, is probably the Moscow, the Russian diocese. And then equally would be the Western and Eastern. Eastern, what it has in age and in resources, the Western makes up with population. So there's some trade-offs. but basically definitely one of the major dioceses in the Armenian Church. And Father Daniel is now the primate elected and confirmed by the Catholicos of all Armenians. So we look forward to his ministry, and definitely we send along our prayers and keep him always in our prayers, because we know how difficult of a ministry that is and challenge it is to lead here in the United States. So I got a wonderful message from one of our listeners and said it would be great to have him have an interview with Father Daniel on your show. And what I really liked about it, she used the term "for us unchurched." And that's why I think I went through some extra steps in talking about what a primate is, what a bishop is. And I know many of you know these things, but it's important that we always remember that we have such a different, diverse group of people listening to the next step. It's important to identify some of these terms, especially bishop. We tend to think of bishop as, okay, he's our bishop. No, bishop is an overseer. Bishop is an ecclesiastical position. And in fact, within Holy Scripture, biblically, there are three ranks of clergymen. There is the deacon, the helper, there is the priest, and then there is the bishop, who literally is the overseer. Everything else is our additions to it, like when we talk about archpriest, talk about vartabed, when we talk about subdeacon and all that. Those are additions to the main three ranks: bishop, priest, and deacon. Deacon, bishop, priest. Sorry about that. Deacon, priest, bishop. Okay, that's in order. I've been saying the right three, but in order it is the deacon, the priest, and the bishop. Okay, so the deacon is the helper, and the priest is the one who administers the sacraments, and you have the bishops, who is the overseer, who also administers the sacrament of ordination and maintains the church, basically gives continuity to the church by ordaining new deacons, priests, and bishops. Okay? So it's that basic. And yes, the Armenians have added one more rank on that, and that is of Catholicos. Catholicos would be the chief bishop, who has the right to consecrate bishops. Anyway, we digress, don't we? I just wanted you to know, because sometimes we say our archbishop, my bishop. Oh, is he, Father Findikian got ordained to archbishop. No, he didn't. He got elected to the office of primate. And he happens to be a priest. And whether he gets elevated to become a bishop, an overseer, is the decision of the Catholicos, and most likely, but it's not part of the office, okay? The office is that of primate. And it's very important for me that we talk in these kind of terms, because ultimately it's these languages, it's the way we express ourselves that really defines us and gives us an opportunity to speak clearly and define what we are talking about. For instance, one of my pet peeves is when people say he is serving on the altar. No, you're never serving on the altar. On the altar is where the chalice and the candlestick stand. If you are serving on the altar, it means you are standing on the table, right? No, that's the altar. That altar is the table. You are standing at the altar. You are standing on the stage, on the bema. You are standing where the altar might stand. At the altar. You serve at the altar, not on the altar. It's a little thing, you might say. It's a small little word, but it is the definition by which we come to understand. Because ultimately, what is that? What is the way that we seek that peace, that we find that equilibrium? It's by talking that basic language with one another. And I had a very important wake-up call to this week, in fact. Last Sunday, I found myself in Seattle, Washington, celebrating the Divine Liturgy. And on the way to the airport, a gentleman who took me to the airport works for Amazon. He's one of the scientists with Amazon, doing a lot of the data calculations. And he was sharing with me the leadership positions that Jeff Bezos, the head of Amazon, has set out for the entire company with, I forgot what incredible number he told me, the thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that work. I can't remember if it was something like 500, whatever it was. It was this incredible, ginormous number, okay? And every employee knows the 14 leadership points that Jeff Bezos has outlined for the company. And these are leadership roles. Now, what he talked about to me, which was really important, is that, and the reason I bring it up over here, he says that those 14 points now become the language which transcends the language of the geographies that we occupy. For instance, he had just returned from a trip to India, his counterparts in India, and obviously you have multiple languages throughout the world in all the places some company that Amazon, such as Amazon, is servicing. How many hundreds of different places and different cultures, different languages? What is the common thread? It's those 14 points. Okay, and so now that becomes a language in itself, and that language is how we start defining and are able to communicate. And by communicating, what do? We get the work done. You get the job done. And this is that communications that we need to get the job done, whether it's the church work, whether it's the Amazon work, or whether it's to bring about peace. It's the ultimate goals of life itself. Is to first basically have those language skills, and those language skills have to be understandable from all players in the equation. So that's where we're at a point where it's probably a good idea to take a break for right now. So we're talking about unified languages and means of discussing. I don't think that there is a language better than that of music. And that's why I play a song of the week every week. And today I picked out a little Serge Tankian because I thought it was pretty impressive that, you know, in the middle of all these things happening in Armenia, the government finding itself and the demonstrations, that everybody took a little break to announce that Serge Tankian had arrived to Armenia. It just goes to show that just as in the West, even over there, people get excited over celebrity statuses. Yes. Isn't it always interesting? Like, you know, you'll tune into the news or you'll see like the feeds that are brought up. You know, there's major issues happening, and then all of a sudden, yeah, then there's some celebrity who walks in someplace. Everybody stops. Anyway, rightly so. He's done so much for the cause. And this is a song that I fell in love with. It's called Vidos.
Miso soup, we're all like miso soup.
Tonkin doing Miso Soup. Yeah, a song that I like. I hope you liked it too. Think about it for a moment. With everything we talked about, everything that's going on and everything that's happening, Miso Soup. We all like Miso Soup. Think about it for a moment and you'll figure out why it was the song of the week. Like every week, we put a link on our show notes so you get to check out not only this song, but all the great music he puts together. Like I said, it was kind of just an interesting sidebar, so to speak, when you watch a protest unfold. And I shared with you a lot of thoughts last week. You know, it is really democracy unfolding. It is democracy unfolding in a way that you are an eyewitness to history as you're watching it. And we have this such a beautiful bird's eye view via the internet, via technology. We're able to look in and see what's going on, seeing the people going through their difficulties, rising to the occasion, finding the support through the local man, reaching out to one another, extending their arms to one another, and us extending our arms to them, and really unifying. Thanks to the miracles that we have today, we really call it a small world for a reason. It is a small world. We have ability to be there in a few minutes. We have ability to be there in a few seconds, in a few light seconds by virtual reality, and so on and so on. So Miso Soup. We all like Miso Soup. Hope you enjoyed it. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Now, as I mentioned, we are the guests here in Rancho Mirage, which is the desert. And those of you who've been listening to my show know that I love to get away to the desert. That's usually out the Arizona desert. That's a different one. It's only maybe about 3-4 hour drive from where we're at. We happen to be in the California desert in Coachella Valley. You've heard it of Coachella fame. It is where the St. Gaudebert Armenian Church is. And I did a small little interview, which we unfortunately, Ken wasn't around to process it. And because I am remote and he is remote and Susie is remote, we are going to hold off that interview for next week and share that interview with our listeners with the pastor here, Father Krikor Zakharyan, who happens to be working with youth via the Christian Education Council, through a lot of opportunities that have been given to him. I look forward to having this broadcast next week. So look forward to that. We will broadcast that interview next week. But in so doing, it gives us a little bit of opportunity, a little bit more opportunity for us to exchange some ideas, some thoughts about all that is happening, in particular this latest development, which comes out of Armenia, this small little landlocked country where a revolution has taken place, and a revolution which is without the spilling of blood, basically a smooth revolution, a velvet revolution. And there were so many dimensions to it, and every pundit has been out there and expounding on their ideas. Our very, very dear friend Harach Chilingirian was in Los Angeles this past week. Unfortunately, I met with him only privately, was unable to attend his talk, but it was sponsored by In His Shoes Ministry in Glendale, and I know Susie was there. She did the introductions. And it was very well attended and people listening. But remember that Harach Chilingirian, an intellectual like him, somebody who comes from academia, is offering us an opportunity to analyze, to really look at the information that's coming out of these places. Now, his topic is a little bit different. Now, he's talking about the challenges facing Eastern Christianity caught in extremism and destruction in the Middle East. That was his topic. Of course, some people want to talk about other things. You can't help the crowd that's there. But Dr. Chilingirian's insights in this area, in the Middle East, in the turmoil, in the different religions, given his background, his ability to process all of this, are unique. Yes, they are unique, but they give you a very special, let's say, view where you're able to look beyond some of the cloudiness and really pinpoint, put your finger on what the problem is. In Armenian, there's an expression, madat verkin vratanes. So I don't know if that translates in English. So I just went ahead and said, put your finger on where the problem is. And I hope that it translates okay, and I'm sure it does. You got it. Okay, you got the basic idea that you have really one of the foremost scholars, and we were so honored that he accepted our invitation to speak under In His Shoes, and he had an opportunity to speak in Glendale, a very politically active. Now, that same night that he was speaking, there were hundreds of people and demonstrators had now turned into partiers, celebrators in Glendale, actually celebrating the change of regime in Armenia and so on and so on. And there's a lot of political ramifications, and we can get into all of that. And that's not our place, really, right? And I'm hoping that I'm going to have the soundtrack from Dr. Chilingirian's speech, and I'll share it with you. If not in the following week, then definitely in the week to follow. So just stay tuned. Basically what I'm saying is stay tuned in the next few weeks, and we're going to have some great, great stuff coming up. But of course, what's happening in Armenia and that Velvet Revolution really affects us all, because it's really impacting us at a different level. It's showing us the power of organized groups, the power of love, the power of expression. That same Tuesday night, we saw throughout, and you've been, but especially Tuesday night in the pictures of the celebration, you may or may not have, but I think you may have, noticed that there was this word being branded, Duhov, and it's on caps, it's on t-shirts, Duhov. And I have to admit that I had to look it up. It's not a word that is regularly used in my surroundings, Duhov. What is this Duhov? You hear it all over in the revolution. And of course, Nikol Pashinyan, the new prime minister, was telling people that if you're going to do something, you do it with Duhov. Duhov basically means to be strong in spirit. I'm going to read you a small little thing, which one of the Armenian commentators here in our area, Araxia Garapetyan, she posted on her blog. She goes, Duhov became a chant during the Velvet Revolution. It started appearing on placards, shirts, and hats. Then when Nikol Pashinyan started to wear the hats, then everyone wanted them. It became part of the movement. The best way to perhaps describe Duhov is someone who takes risks, someone who has no fear, someone who has passion, but it's almost stronger than just passion. Okay? One of the dictionaries explains it right like this. It roughly translates as be strong. In Russian, duch means spirit. In Armenian, ov means with, a kind of slang you might hear on the streets when someone is called on to show a little grit. So it's basically put together of the Armenian and the Armenian and the Russian Duhov. Okay, so I just love it. I love it because what we're doing now is we're starting to define ourselves and define the revolution, define it in terms of velvet. Other revolutions have been called velvet. In other words, they've gone smoothly, but this was truly a smooth revolution. And I was I saw this YouTube video, which I will definitely put a link on today's show notes, so do check it out, of the man who really brought Duhov to popularity. He was the marketer, the man who was hired really to bring out Duhov. And it's very, very interesting. It's in Armenian. Yeah, they'll have to do the translation. But it's very interesting how the process begins and how a word, a phrase, a catchphrase becomes the phrase of a revolution. So we now have a word, too. And let me just repeat it again because it's important. The best way to describe Duhov is someone who takes risks, someone who has no fear, someone who has passion, but it's almost stronger than just passion. And if you think about it, in this month, and I'll be doing some specials in the next couple weeks. On the 22nd of this month happens to be the anniversary of Sardarabad. Oh, how much I wanted to be in Armenia for this anniversary. It's the 100th anniversary. And to me, a very special symbol because the words that Baruch Sevag has put together. Yerp chimanum yerp nujar chentere gnumen anar. When there is no more way of solving something, it is the crazies. You got to go outside of the box. The crazies who find the means and the appropriate means to bring about that revolution. So we are hitting that that anniversary in a couple weeks. We've got this Duhov. It's just a very, very exciting time to be alive, and certainly a lot of things to comment on and to talk about. Now, in that same vein, I also want to go one more step and talk about a passing that took place this past week, and that is the passing of our former governor, Governor George Dukmejian, who was the governor of California in 1983, he held this position for several years. And I want to share with you a small story, too, that had me involved in that as well. But he was the governor of the great state of California, which happens to be, let's see, I believe it is the sixth largest economy in the world. Pretty impressive. I mean, this goes back to, you know, what I've been talking about for the last several weeks about our wounds are not open. I mean, imagine this. The child of genocide survivor becomes the governor of the largest economy, one of the largest economies in the world. That is not a wound that is open. That is a wound that is healed and is now helping out other people, okay? Anyway, 1983, he wins the election, and it was a time when I had just been ordained. I was ordained a priest in 1982. So at one of his rallies, and let me tell you, first of all, George Dukmejian did two things for Armenians. First of all, he got Armenians to change from Democrat to Republican because he was a Republican. And unfortunately, a lot of these Armenians to vote in the primaries stayed Republican because, okay, they went for it. Okay, yes, you heard me say it right. You know, that's the progress that happened. A lot of Armenians were Democrat, especially Roosevelt Democrats, what we call. And then in the early 80s, they became Republicans. Also, there was a revolution going on in America, namely the Republicans had taken over because there was so much inflation from the Democrats' day under Carter. And anyway, the time was right. Dukmejian was right. Everything was right that in 83 he was elected. And the other thing that he did for Armenians was that he allowed us to to say our names. After Americans learned how to say Dukmejian, nobody had an excuse now not to pronounce our names. Because if you're an Armenian and listening to this, you know how difficult it is to explain to somebody when they look at your name, and especially when they see the combinations of the DJs and the ZHs and things like that, you know, and they go, oh, how do you say this? And we're pointing to, well, our governor, his name, Dukmejian, that's an Armenian name, okay? So all of a sudden, there was notoriety among Armenians. But I have a particular funny story that took place. 1982, he was running for the position, and I had just been ordained. I guess it was early 83 by the time that this event took place. I was invited to give the opening prayer at one of his events. And Susan and I were invited to this $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 a plate meal. Okay, so we were going to give the prayer at this meal, a fundraiser for Governor-to-be George Dukmejian. And I remember finding out about it, and I went to my... I like wearing my hair long, and I went to Ida, who used to cut my hair, and I said, I need a nice haircut, and she started trimming it, and I said, stop. So I remember I had a real funky haircut because right in the middle of the haircut, I had it stopped. I just didn't want to see it short. So it was a real funky haircut, okay? In the back, it was, if I remember right, it was a straight line in the back. So here's this young priest and his wife going to the governor's, this high-class, highbrow, white tie event. Is that cotton? No, white, not white, black tie. I'm the one with the white collar. No, it's the black tie event, okay? So we're at this black tie event, and we go in through the doors, and now we're going to look for our place to sit. And we are seated at the head table. And head tables were very fashionable in those times. They don't have them too often nowadays, but head tables were very fashionable. You had one table that was out in the front, usually on a riser, a little bit higher than everybody else, and there you had your dignitary sitting. And Susan and I walked in. They said, "You're at the head table," and we went up there, and it was basically Governor Duke Majan, his wife Gloria, myself and Susan. It was the four of us sitting up at that head table. And here I am, this young priest and this real funky haircut. And I'm up there. God gave me the grace to be able to say the grace to offer the prayer that day. But it was a memorable event. I'll never forget that day, how awkward and weird I felt just being up there. But we got through it. He became the governor of California. A lot of pride went into that. And again, what I'm saying is that these are the small little revolutions that take place in our lives that we've got to remember. Move us from that victim to victor mentality. And certainly Governor Duke Majan was one of those key peoples, those inspirations for many people, to be able to say that, look at us, we were the children of genocide survivors, and today we stand. Governor Duke Majan passed away just 1 month shy of his 90th birthday. He was 89 years old. On May 8th, he passed away. May God rest his soul and grant comfort to everyone who looked up to him and saw in him an opportunity to do likewise.
Say you got a real solution. Well, you know, we don't love to see the pipe. Should we do what we bow? Should we do what we ask before a country?
Well, at the beginning of today's show, I said I'm going to connect it all, right? Under a title called Revolution. And it happens to be that today is the 40th day after Easter. Ascension. And at Ascension, Jesus told his disciples that all authority. Okay, authority, right? Think about these words now. Remember, why am I challenging you to think about the importance of these words? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Just as the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you. Go, therefore. Go into the world and baptize people. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There it is. There's the instruction sheet, right? But equally as important, he says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. What did he command us? Love one another. The story of the Good Samaritan. Go over and above what is required of you. The story of the prodigal son. Forgive. The story of the steward. Use the talents. All that I have commanded you. All that I have taught you. Obey those things. Follow those things, and remember that I am with you until the end of the ages. And based on this commission, Christianity was spread. The message, which was defined by this word love, was spread. And now, you've been hearing me talk about it for how many years? That there is an alternative to violence. There is an alternative method. And we've just got to give it a try. I am so thankful that in Armenia, it was given a try without bloodshed, without the violence. But it did require standing up for what they believed. It was basically the principles of Christ coming into action. It is sad that in the midst of all this, the church, which had an opportunity to make a statement of bringing out that message, stayed silent for the most part, right? Yes, you had some people going here and there, but basically the church had this opportunity, what Martin Luther King Jr. talked about, why we can't wait moment, what he referred to in the Birmingham letter to the clergy, the great disappointment. Because you cannot have great disappointment where there is no great love. His love for the church, his understanding of the church as being the representative of Christ, of being Christ's body on earth, and the great disappointment that that Christ's body did not act at that moment. Revolution. Christ saying, go into the world, preach the message. Here's your opportunity. Do it. And fortunately, there are enough people that are hearing that message and doing it. I'm just saying I wish that there was this opportunity, which is now lost, for the church to have made its statement. But we're always wishful and we are always hopeful. That's why we stay behind this ministry, walking in the shoes of others. This ministry, which has put as its cornerstone faith in Jesus Christ and the words that he has spoken, equally as important as all the other hoopla that you have there, perhaps even more, is the message of Christ. The message of us living in harmony, of finding that equilibrium. And in fact, that's what today is. Ascension. It's the beginning of the revolution. Jesus leaving and saying, all authority is now pointing to the direction that I want this church to go into, to do what I have commanded you, to forgive, to love, to honor, to share, to give of yourself, to sacrifice, all those things that we talk about, and all those things we go to Sunday school and learn. This is the day that I've said that the revolution begins, because I want you to implement it. Why? Because I want to find peace in this world. I want to seek that equilibrium. Today, Ascension Day, is Equilibrium Day. It's finding that equilibrium, finding that balance, understanding that it has all come together. You know, the day 40, it's 40 days exactly after Easter. It's significant, too, because it is the time of cleansing. If you look at Luke chapter 2, it talks about Jesus going into the temple. And many times people think that it was a presentation about him. Yes, we use the word presentation, but if you look at scriptures carefully, it says because the time of purification, the purification of the woman who was at that point after a pregnancy giving birth to another human being, it was thought that after 40 days that her body now finds what? Equilibrium, okay? 40 days afterwards, she goes to the temple, and there is the presentation. In the same way, 40 days after all the excitement of Holy Week, of Jesus coming into Jerusalem with the fanfare, with the people screaming, 5 days later, was being abandoned by his closest friend and standing alone at a cross with three witnesses, his mother, the Magdalene, and John, his close disciple. 3 days later, the empty tomb. A few days later, there's the revelation to the disciples. A few days later, there is the doubting Thomas. A few days later, there's the road to Emmaus. There is the seeing of the 500 people, so on and so on. And here we are now, 40 days later, time for everything to find its balance, to find its equilibrium, because the revolution has begun. And the revolution is defined with words like love, sacrifice, caring, healing, growth, stimulation, and the words that give life its meaning and its function. And I am so proud today that Duhov, yes, with that spirit, we are seeing it manifest in a small little landlocked country called Armenia. And I believe that that power is something that each of us needs to take and adopt into our lives and understand ourselves as being a continuation of this search and the means to find that equilibrium, to find that peace. Happy Ascension Day. Welcome to the revolution.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the 10th year of producing shows, which are heard around 6 continents. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
We are winding up our tour of the Coachella Valley and finishing up here in the desert. And I want to do a big shout out to the St. Gotabed Armenian Church and thank them for the wonderful hospitality we enjoyed, including Father Krikor Zakharyan. Hopefully next week, week after, we'll have him as a guest on our show, and I'll share with you some of the insight that I learned about him and his ministry here in the Coachella Valley, here in Rancho Mirage. A nice way of saying the desert, right? Rancho Mirage. No, they're proud of it, and I'm so proud of that church. Do check out our show notes. You'll see a lot of everything we talked about today, okay? We talked about him, we about Father Findikian, the Eastern Diocese, Hadash Chilingirian, talking about Christianity, Eastern Christians. We talked about the Ascension Day. We talked about the revolution in Armenia, all pointing to something very big, the power that we have within us, that God gives us to be able to institute the revolutions that are important in our lives. Do check out the show notes today. And I want to ask you to join us in the next few weeks as we do a series of interviews, as we start broadening our horizon and moving forward. If you are in the Glendale area, we'd love to see you Monday nights. We have our Bible study and Vespers, and as you can tell from my voice, it's still going through a little period of difficulty, but strained vocal cords, okay? And if you think today was bad, we're getting better. Yeah, you should have seen it last Sunday. I was celebrating Divine Liturgy up at the St. Holy Resurrection Church in Seattle. Oh, thank you, people up there. You guys, so understanding. There was no voice left. It was basically a recitation of the Divine Liturgy and my sermon, but such a loving and caring group of people up there. And we had been working together for the last couple weeks, and it was just beautiful. It was just very, very beautiful. So God is using us, even in our deficiencies, even with vocal cords strained. I am thankful that we have this ministry, and I'm thankful to all of you for your support, your encouragement, and your prayers. They go a long way, and you know what? I take you along to all these different places, including today from here in the desert. You're with me, and God bless you. Look forward to being with you next week. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you from all the different remote locations that our staff is at today. Join us at all the usual spots. Drop us a line at feedback@epostle.net. And of course, we're at inissues.org and the Facebook pages, the Instagram pages, inissues, epostle, me, Susie, whatever you find, drop us a line. Always love to hear from you. If you happen to be in Mondays in Glendale, join us. And this Sunday, I will be at the Thousand Oaks Armenian Church. And I look forward to seeing you there for the Holy Divine Liturgy and celebrating Mother's Day. Big shout out to all of our mamas. Happy Mother's Day. On behalf of the wonderful crew who put today's show together, Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer. This is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your broadcast out.
Is it your birthday?